Two.
Oh, crap, dude.
One.
Are we, like, live?
Yeah, man. You didn't even listen to our floor producer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, hi. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
All righty. Well, tonight we have a great show. Like we never have a great show. They're always great shows. But tonight we have a great guest. Joe Zigi will be with us. We'll be talking about moving to L.A. to be in the voiceover business.
That's right, man.
Kind of cool. We also have an interesting question about Twisted Wave. A couple of questions about Twisted Wave.
Oh, good. Yeah.
What else? We've got
little
the news.
Package from my pilgrimage to see Twit. I call it the mothership. Leo Laporte, the daddy of webcasting. We got a little video from there.
Excellent. All righty. That's all coming up here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Do not go away. We'll be right there in now.
Two men. Twin sons from different mothers. With a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
All right.
Woo-hoo.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
That's right. Well, it's another Monday night.
Yes, it is.
And we're here to entertain you. Let me entertain. No, we're here to inform you more than anything else. In an entertaining way. Infotainment, yes.
Infotain you.
Something that they're really big on here in Hollywood. And speaking of being here in Hollywood, that's what our guest is all about tonight. Mm-hmm. Joe Zigi is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about what it's like to move to L.A. to be in a voiceover business and some various other cool stuff that he has some observations on. And he's an author, too.
Oh, man.
So we'll talk about his book. Let's see. We've got some questions that we're going to answer. And, of course, your questions to our guests. So make sure you're in the chat room and having a great time there. Just don't make too much fun of us in the process.
That's right.
All right. And now,
let's thank our sponsors like Harlan Hogan,
Voice Over Extra,
Edge Studio,
Source Elements,
Rehearsal App, and VO2GoGo.
And Antland Productions, where you can get yourself a killer, killer demo.
That's right.
That's what you want to do, is you want to kill people that you want to impress.
Knock them over.
Absolutely. Well, Uncle Roy's do that. Anyway, lots of stuff coming up. We know we've got FAFCON coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
I'm not even sure if I'm going to be here next week.
Okay, so, well, that'll make it interesting.
It will be. I have to go back to Buffalo. It's a long story. And then the FAFCON in Minneapolis.
For another time.
Yes. But right now it's time for...
Now, the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
All righty, here is the news for August 15th from VoiceOver Extra. Drug marketing. Okay, here's a scenario you'll recognize. You've recorded scores of auditions, just completed a big project, and now you need to push yourself through the exhaustion to tackle the day's list of must-do marketing tasks. And then you see a headline. Drugs can help your voiceover marketing. Yeah, right. Okay, well, actually, this is a pill for your mind. And while it won't cure your exhaustion, it could lead to a marketing breakthrough. Now, John Melly, a Boston area voice talent and been on our show before, producer and engineer, long ago discovered a cure to what could be lurking behind symptoms of a lagging voiceover career. His cure? More marketing savvy. In 2013, he started the VoiceOver Marketing Podcast, VMP, which has to date archived a huge library of podcast interviews with successful marketers from within the voiceover industry and without. Okay? A recent podcast featured now on VoiceOver Extra explores what we can learn from a pharmaceutical marketing concept. Think of the number three. Three. Have you ever noticed how many pharmacologicals have three-syllable brand names, he asks? It's not an accident. A lot of money was spent on focus groups and marketing research to hit on what's apparently a winning marketing tactic. Three syllables. Should you apply that to your voiceover brand? Maybe. But the real lesson here, he says, is to become aware of the volume of marketing research done by large industries and then see how we might apply it to our own efforts. Look at marketing from other sources and become a parasite of it, John says. And he adds that another great place to learn is in the supermarket checkout line. See all those tabloids and magazine headlines? Well, what works for you? And how can you use it? Knowing that it is the real drug for your voiceover marketing. This podcast and many of hundreds other valuable how-to articles are in VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop shop for everything voiceover. Now, what's going on with you?
Well, man, I just got to make a little quick turnaround trip up to see. I call it the mothership of webcasting.
Okay.
The Twit Studios up there, ooh, which is This Week in Tech. Leo Laporte is
God, essentially.
He is my webcasting god in a way, because this guy is a pioneer in terms of what you can do outside of the network sphere, what you can do on your own with a little bit of money, a little bit of space,
yeah,
and some know-how.
A little bit of money, yeah.
But yeah, he's got a lot of, it's a pretty cool studio. But I went up there with Andrew Feliciano, who owns Voice Tracks West, mm-hmm, is a good friend of mine. He put together the trip. And we went up there to see the studio because it's the last time they'll be shooting in their current facility and they're moving.
Oh.
So it's just sort of the last chance to see what the place looked like. So there's just a little very, very quick hack together package of a clip of what the show looks like and a couple of stills and from the visit. So Andrew, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. We have a big panel for our very last Twit from the Brick House Studios. Join Greg Farrow from the Packet Pushers Network, Alan Malventano from PC Perspective, from Engadget, Devendra Hardawar, and Alex Wilhelm from Mattermark as we talk about the latest news in the tech world, including the Galaxy Note 7, what 5G really means, Wither Apple. It's going to be an amazing panel. You stay here. Twit is next. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the last Twit from our beautiful Brick House studio. So we thought we'd gather, first of all, some of my favorite people and then have them all in studio at the same time.
So I just wanted to show you guys, to get a feel of what that place looks like. But
it's nothing compared to what we do.
No, it's nothing. Same. They've got at least three different crew there. It's pretty incredible. But there are eight cameras. I'm going to geek out on it. There are eight cameras alone on that set just to shoot that show.
Wow.
And his concept is the same as ours, which is why have camera operators when you can have more cameras?
One, but, two, three, four.
Yeah, we got four cameras in this tiny little studio. But it's really a really great place. Leo's done an amazing thing over there. And if you love anything in the tech industry, go to check out twit.tv. And he has shows that cover about 30 different topics, including ham radio.
Ooh.
There's a ham
talk
show.
Talk about excitement.
Yeah, really? And it's hosted by Bob Heil. You know who Bob Heil is?
From the microphone company.
Yeah. This is the guy who made the Heil Talk Box. You know, the Peter Frampton with the hose that goes. That guy,
right.
He invented that thing. Anyway, cool. He makes mics now. But it was a lot of fun, and it was really a pleasure to meet Leo again, because we'd met him a while ago. And I got to plug my show. And, of course, he said,
good job.
I'll have to watch that. And I was like, sure, man.
Hi, Leo. Nice of you to tune in today.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's okay. A busy man. But anyway, great time. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a couple of questions that came in, and we'll get to those in just a minute or so.
Awesome.
If you've got a question for us about home voiceover studio technology, all you got to, if you're in the chat room, throw it in the chat room. If by chance you come up with one on Wednesday, write to us at theguys@vobs.tv, and we'll answer it, because Jim Wilson wrote us a question, and we'll get to his question in just a minute.
Awesome.
All right, we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that? That is BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlantProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
Well, I wanted to tell you guys, too, about Source Elements. Source Elements is the makers of are the makers of Source Connect. It's a fantastic tool for connecting your studio to other professional studios around the world. And if it's the great tool as a backup or an alternative to ISDN. If you have a studio that has ISDN, or you're in a location where ISDN is just absolutely cost prohibitive, or in some cases, not even available, Source Connect is a really, really great alternative to ISDN technology. If you want to get set up with Source Connect, you can go to sourceelements.com and you can get a 15-day free trial, or just plunge in with a subscription. They now have subscription models, and you can sign up for a standard subscription and pay on a monthly fee, and you don't even need one of those little iLocks to
use
a subscription.
You don't need those
anymore? Not for the subscription.
All right.
Very cool. So give it a try, and while you're there, also check out Source Connect now. They're free beta version that allows you to connect to other studios over the Chrome browser. Thanks a lot, Source Elements. We really appreciate your sponsorship of our show. We'll be right back.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
Well, you think we don't read our actual mail?
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Ding, 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 ding. Every day, it just piles in here. Actually, we'd like a little bit more.
But, we'd love your mails.
We love getting email from you, theguys@vobs.tv. But Jim Wilson wrote us a couple of questions. As a matter of fact, he wrote us 3 questions.
Holy cow.
Yes.
Good. That should fill a lot of time.
It should.
That should keep Joe sitting there for a good another 20, maybe even 30 minutes.
30 minutes at least. You know, or no, we'll just blow out of this as fast as we can. This but anyway, quick. But Jim asks, and these are great questions. Before I cut or paste in an audio file, I highlight the area and then do a find zero crossing, which adjusts my highlighted section to a zero crossing. I use a hotkey, so it only takes a second. But is it worth the time and effort? Well, first off, what's a zero crossing? That's the where audio is at the line, the nominal line of volume. In other words, there's no noise. There's no sound.
I'm still kind of lost. What DAW is this?
Twisted Wave.
Where does it say that?
Well, he's just talking about, it's like that on every software.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, because every software is different. But yeah, if some of them you can find the zero crossing. I guess that's what Audition does, right?
Audition does that. Because
Twisted Wave does that automatically.
Yes.
You can set it to
zoom in really tight and really see where it is.
But, I mean, that's one thing I like about Twisted Wave is that it's just automatic. You just turn that feature on, and then when you make an edit,
find 0 point.
It just snaps the selection just a tad. So, okay, what's zero crossing? That's the point, right?
That's right. But is it worth it to have a hotkey and find it? Well, in Twisted Wave, of course, you say it'll just do it.
Just does it automatically.
Right.
You don't even think about it. You just make the selection and delete. I mean, it just takes away another step. It makes the edits seamless.
Exactly. So anything that's going to save you time, absolutely worth it.
Yeah. And Pro Tools, they might have had that feature. I don't know, but used to have to do something called a batch crossfade or something like that. And crossfade all of your cuts so that they all would have smooth transitions. But some of the newer DAWs have zero crossing. So zero crossing is when you've got an edit point, you'll have a wave on this side, a wave on this side. If they don't join together smoothly, you have this thing in the middle called a discontinuity, and it makes a click. So if you say, hey, man, make it so that the zero crossings meet up so the two waves come together and meet smoothly, you get a smooth edit. There's no click or pop or anything.
So it's worth it.
Absolutely worth the effort. Okay. Yes.
Question number two.
Yeah.
Is the second generation Focusrite product worth the extra $20 plus versus first generation products that are still for sale?
You know, I don't have a good answer because we haven't had any of the second generation stuff in here to test or try out.
So Focusrite, please send us the stuff so we can test it.
Yeah.
But we know that Focusrite makes great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if they've improved the circuit to lower the noise, maybe. I mean, there's not too many things to really
improve.
There's
not a lot of noise in it. I mean, it's Focusrite preamps, great analog to digital converter.
Yeah.
And the 2i2, which, you know, we recommended to a lot of people, just keeps on plugging. A lot better than, say, M-boxes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you already have the first generation ones, the question is, do you buy the next one?
Well, if you feel like you have to buy, if you've got gear acquisition syndrome and you got to buy the new stuff, give it a shot. I mean, I wanted to see what they were like, but I want Focusrite to send it to us.
Right. Are you guys paying attention?
Yes.
I think we'll be sending them a link.
Yes. Okay.
But yeah, it's if you have if what you have is working,
don't fix it.
Don't fix it. If the new one is supposed to have lowered self-noise and you have a noise issue, then maybe.
If it makes you sound like Don LaFontaine, maybe. But it doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't work that
It's
way.
Not the equipment, kids.
No.
It's being a great voice actor and knowing how to use the stuff you have. Mm-hmm. And then the final question.
Yeah.
Which sort of relates to that. Mm-hmm. Because I can actually appreciate this question. Because he says, does the Yamaha AG03, for those of you wondering what a Yamaha AG03 is, it's a new interface that Yamaha came out with that is a great little thing because it's got this little loopback feature. Now, for those of us that do a lot of webinars and where we're working with people and we need to feed audio and stuff like that from the computer, you just put this little loopback feature on and it will play any audio from the computer, like throughout a radio station, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Now, does the Yamaha AG03 produce the same quality audio as the Focusrite products? I've watched your videos on the features of the AG03 and am curious regarding the audio chain of it. Well, you recommended it to me, and I'm...
And you made that swap.
I actually
went from the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 to the AG03.
Right.
What was your observation?
Well, it's got some cute little features in it. It has a compression and some other features in it that are software driven. Kind of hard to figure out exactly.
Software DSP.
Exactly. Yeah. It has a lot of interesting utility for voiceover. It works great. The audio quality is Yamaha. They make great stuff.
Even their inexpensive stuff's pretty darn good.
This thing wasn't expensive. I just ran over to Banjo Emporium, and I said, I want one of these. And they went, we just happen to have one.
And I don't know for sure, but I do know that Yamaha and Steinberg are pretty much the same company.
Are they now?
And there's probably a lot of shared circuitry between this and, like, the Steinberg stuff, which is really good quality gear, too. So, I mean, did you hear any difference? Do you think you notice any difference?
I didn't know. Ones and zeros are ones and zeros. You don't hear the difference in these things.
No increased noise or anything. No,
Rupert Neve might hear.
Yeah, yeah.
The difference, but nobody else out there, and he's what, 100 years old,
right?
90 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the fact of the matter is, it's the features that the thing has more than the audio quality. Because most stuff that is at the prosumer level, you know, that is designed for guys making music, which is really what all this stuff is initially designed for in the first place, is all very good. And you can't go wrong buying any one of these. So it's really more feature-driven than it is audio-quality-driven. Because as we say, ones and zeros are ones and zeros. And if you're recording at 24-bit, nobody's going to hear the difference. It's inaudible.
It's very much, it's getting to the point in a home studio where it's not a super quiet environment with like a noise floor, you know, much lower than minus 60, the noise differences between these things have become negligible.
Right.
I mean, it comes down to pretty much, like you said, features. I mean, there's some much more expensive interfaces out there. One of them that's become a favorite just because of it really takes the bells and whistles thing to a whole new level.
You mean the Apollo Twin?
The Apollo Twin.
Well, how did I know what you were talking about?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Everybody wants one of those.
Ooh, man. I love that thing. But it's way more complicated. The software is kind of a little dizzyingly complicated at first, but it has the capabilities of emulating other venerable pieces of analog gear. And it does a really, really good job of it.
But the functionality for that is for music, for producing music. And that's not what we do as voice actors. Our job is to reproduce ourselves as we exist in the environment in which we record it.
Yeah, keep it simple.
So you don't need all of this extra stuff.
Keep it simple.
So save your money for more coaching and for marketing, lots and lots of marketing, according to John Melly.
Yeah, when you're making a full-time living on VO, you know, look for things to spend money on, like upgrading your preamp and your mic. But that stuff is almost never going to make the difference.
Never.
To a recording engineer, one of my buddies, Tim Freelander, who happens to be an engineer, he will probably hear the difference from one to the next because he's a trained engineer with golden ears. But the thing is, it's you're not trying to impress an engineer. You're trying to impress your client. And the clients just about never hear the difference between the stuff. They have no idea. As long as the final product sounds impressive, it sounds like it's on television, they're going to be happy.
And we all know how good television audio is. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so there. We answered your questions.
In great detail.
In more detail than you were probably
than you require.
Expecting. That's right. Anyway, Joe Zija is our guest. He'll be with us in just a couple of minutes.
Right.
And so, again, if you've got any questions for us, theguys@vobs.tv. And I know Anthony, I think, is in the chat room tonight monitoring things as making sure you guys behave yourselves in there.
Right.
But feel free to ask questions of us. And, of course, we'll give you the chance to ask our guest, Joe Zija, just some questions because I know you're going to have some because we're going to talk about what it's like to move to L.A. to be in the voiceover business. Yeah. I mean, you came here to be in the
I came here to
the
be
movie
in
business.
Kind of business. I didn't think I'd be doing this.
The path never would sort have wound here
yeah,
in the voiceover.
I never would have predicted this.
Well, we're doing this show for 5.5 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, so stay tuned for that. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, so don't go away.
Fighting broke out overnight for Sunday's Indie.
What do you want to watch tonight?
I don't know. I mean, the same stuff's always on all the time.
Oh, I am so sick of American Pickers. What about VOBS?
Yes! Oh my gosh, you just read my mind! That's perfect!
I want to watch it because you know why? They got the best BS about VO.
VOBS. Mondays, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on VOBS.us.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We pick the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
All right. You know, it's really important as a voice actor to do great auditions. And a lot of you guys out there are also actors. You do it on stage, you're doing a lot of film work, and we'll be talking about that tonight, because in Hollywood, you could do just about anything if you're an actor, along with voice acting. But if you are an actor or a voice actor, one of the things you have to do is memorize lines and be able to produce really high-quality audio for your auditions. Move it over a little bit more. Now they can hear me nice and clear, right? That's the thing. See, it's great having a floor producer now.
Awesome.
It is nice.
Absolutely awesome.
George doesn't have to run out here and move the microphone around. But now you can hear me nice and clear. This show is about audio, and that's the most important thing. And speaking of audio, our good friend David H. Lawrence the 17th has a fantastic app called Rehearsal Pro. And what it does is it helps you learn lines. It's apparently the number one piece of software app on your iPhone that will, that, by the way, Apple had no problem approving it. You know how Apple can be. You know, they just, you know, it's like, you know, you want to have an iPhone app. It's wow, look at that. It actually is like transparent. Ooh, that's cool. If you wanted to have an iPhone app approved by Apple, that's the greatest thing. And according to David, they just like that, they approved it. So it must be a great app. They said, this thing works. It has a pile of features on it. All you have to do is go over to rehearsal.pro and check it out. Check out this app. As a voice actor or as an actor, it's something, certainly something you should have on your iPhone to help you learn your lines. But it also has an audition app, which allows you to record your auditions using all the features on this great app, and then send it to wherever it is it needs to go. So go over to rehearsal.pro and go get that now. Do you understand me? David H. Lawrence will thank you, and I will too. Anyway, we'll be right back with our guest right after this.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, and let's give a welcome to our guest, Joe Zija.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. Make sure this is aiming in the right direction all the way around. Okay, now can you hear us both?
Hello. Hi, guys.
Okay, test 1, 2. Yeah, we only do this before the show all the time. But anyway, now you're a man who will do just about anything if it involves a great story, according to your website.
That sounds pretty risque, but I guess it's kind of true.
All right. Joe is an author, a voiceover artist, and a consummate nerd who believes that stories are the currency of human emotion and that music is the literal language of gods. Okay. Now, you've heard Joe's voice on Pandora, your television, Oxenfree for Xbox, PS4, and PC, Job Simulator for VR systems all over the world, and Star Fox. You did Star Fox?
Fox McCloud on, Star Fox Zero, The Battle
cool.
Begins.
And Star Fox, The Battle Begins is the voice of Fox McCloud. So, sounds like you're pretty accomplished. But you're not, like me, you're not from here.
Nope.
You're from...
I actually grew up in New Jersey.
You're from Jersey?
I am from Jersey.
What's
your accent? Nobody that talks like that. Grandfather kind of talked like that.
Okay.
But for the most part, no, I don't really have an accent or anything like that. I grew up there until I was 18. Then I went to the Air Force Academy, and ever since then haven't lived in the same place for more than a year and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So you were in the Air Force?
I was in the Air Force.
Did you fly jets?
I did not fly jets.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So what did you do in the Air Force?
I was an intelligence officer,
which
always gets that reaction right there. Everyone's like,
okay,
that's great.
You tell me about it, you'll have to kill me.
All that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay, right, that makes total sense. All right. So we won't get into that, unless you want to get into that.
That's okay.
Did you learn a lot from being an intelligence officer?
I learned a heck of a lot.
Did you become intelligent by being an intelligence
officer? Well, that's still
military intelligence.
Okay. Yeah, the oxymoron.
Okay. So, okay, well, all right. So what brought you to L.A.? Now, you were in voiceover before?
Yeah. So the origin story goes in 2013, I had left active duty. I was in the reserves. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about the reserves, you're called weekend warriors. But for this particular unit, I was involved in an active duty unit. I was just the only reserve guy. And they had me working on the weekend. So there was nobody there on a weekend. It was literally just me in the office, in the squadron. I don't even remember what I was doing. Obviously I remember what I was doing because I was talking on Google Chat with a friend of mine. And what I said to him, I was like, whatever, we're talking about life. And I said, you know what I've always wanted to try? Voice acting.
And he's like, we say that every day in this business. We should really try that.
And he said to me, well, I don't know if it's like voice acting, because we were talking about cartoons and games and stuff like that, but one of my old marketing companies used to hire voiceover artists, which is a term I hadn't heard until then, from this place called Voices.com. Why don't you give it a shot? So your tax dollars at work, I was looking at Voices.com while I was on duty on a Saturday, and sort of decided I would throw my hat in. And for $40, I think was the monthly fee, I saw the jobs, you know, one job would pay for the fee, so I went for it. I booked the first thing I auditioned for,
kill this man.
Most people, their first job is a cartoon panda speaking Arabic to children, which was my first job. I had some Arabic knowledge from all those things that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Right.
And, it was just, you know, put on a funny voice and teach kids how to speak. I think it was teaching Arabic speakers how to speak English. So it was super simple. It was just, you know, count to 20, say this, say that, colors and shapes and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, that was really cool. How do I do more of that? And it just kind of snowballed from there. About a year later, I had been working at my government job. I had separated. I was working for three-letter organizations that I'm positive you've heard of. You have a lovely voice on the phone, by the way. And it just kind of like became an untenable lifestyle where I would come home from working a full day at 5 o'clock. I would go down into the rapidly building studio and work until 10 o'clock at night. So I finally told my job, it was like, hey, I gotta go. Or could we do something part-time? So I was part-time for a while and then I eventually quit. My wife and I were not in love with Virginia, which is where I was at that time. And we wanted to either move towards where my family was in New Jersey or where her family was in California because we had just had a kid. And we wanted to be close to our families. And I got on the phone with my manager, and I was like, I don't really know what to do. And she's like, you're an idiot. Move to L.A. And I was like, oh, all right. That's okay. Let's go to L.A.
And here you are.
And here I am. I had been telling her, hey, I really want to get involved. Voiceover is great. I love what I'm doing. I really want to get involved in video games and animation because of the whole being a nerd thing. I love storytelling. I'm an author. I just like putting things together. And really the only place to do that is here. You could do commercial work from a lot of different places. I can do the web videos and the e-learning and all that stuff from a lot of different places. But animation and gaming, you got to be here.
Absolutely.
So here I am.
Yeah, there's no question. And everybody I talk to, it's like, well, you can't do it from anywhere mm-hmm. else. You've got to be here. You've got to have face time with the people that make these decisions, and they've got to hear you and see how you work with other people and stuff
Absolutely.
Like that. So that's a real important thing. So you picked yourself up and you came here to Southern California. Did you have a plan for once you got out here? And like most military plans, once the war starts, everything just goes all
No plan right? survives first contact with the
right,
enemy, is what
right,
we say.
Right.
I did have somewhat of a plan. The good thing is people have been asking me like, hey, how do you be successful in LA? And I always answer, be successful before you get to LA. I had built a career over 2 years of doing voiceover stuff that was sustainable no matter where I went. So I had a level of confidence coming to LA that it didn't matter if I never earned a dollar in this city, I would still have the career I built that was mostly online stuff. Clients mm-hmm. coming, just sending me scripts by email and just churning out work.
Just paying higher rent.
Yeah. Just really, it was paying higher rent and spending more time in traffic and not having to shovel snow anymore, which is a big bonus, as you know.
As I know. Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah, so the plan was to kind of go. We wanted to live near family. My wife had been trying to get me to move to California for about 10 years at that point, so she was doing victory dances for months before we got out here. And the plan was to just sort of give it a shot, understand that I had a career that could support it even if I failed. I had representation waiting for me when I got here, thanks to my awesome manager, Celia Siegel, and who kind of started making all those connections for me. And yeah, that was the plan, was just kind of try it out and not be too scared if I failed.
So what was your initial results once you got here? What sort of things occurred when you suddenly landed here? Did you start picking up the phone and saying, hey, I'm here? Or
well, when I got here, I knew that CESD wanted to talk to me. So I had set up that relationship within a month and a half of getting here. I had signed with them. So I knew that there was a comfortable agency representation. And CESD is one of the best in the business waiting for me when I got here. So there was no real need for me to like pick up the phone. It was just about cultivating the relationships with my new agents, saying, hey, I'm here, you can trust me, you know, you could put me in the booth because I'm not a jerk, and starting to find out who are the players in LA, because I didn't know, I mean, I was still pretty new at this, having Celia being like, no, this is not a promo, Joe, this is a hard sell commercial, or this is, you know, starting to attend some workshops, meeting some casting directors, and largely repeatedly asking my agents and my manager for, what do I do now? And then doing whatever it was that they told me to do.
What were some of the things they told you to do?
Go to workshops. It's this, particularly for animation and gaming, these casting directors hold workshops where you basically go and you get a chance to meet them, but you do also get a chance to learn from their experience. Sitting down for a couple of hours with Andrea Toyas from Blizzard is invaluable.
Yeah,
you get
some really
great insight on how to break in, how they find new talent, what they look for in the booth, how to make an audition pop, because they listen to hundreds of things every single day.
Right.
Yeah, so getting out there and meeting them and just learning to be, for me, I'm an introvert. It costs me energy. Like, I like people, but it costs energy for me to be out and kind of having to turn that around and be like, no, someone said you should go get a beer. Go get a beer, dude. Just get out of your comfort zone for a little while. Go meet some people.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because it's like anything else. When you're meeting people, especially in this business, people want to work with people that they like working with. You know, it's not a matter of, well, this guy's got great talent, but if he's hard to work with or something along those lines, it's like anything else. People, you have to mesh with people.
Right.
You know, somebody said when you're looking for an agent, you know, you're looking to hire them. So it's got to be somebody that's got to be able to relate to you and is with your style.
Exactly.
Did you find that?
Yeah. I was at the Midwest VoiceOver Conference a couple of months ago.
In Columbus. Yeah.
And I had one of my slides was Joe's 2 secrets for success in any industry. Be good at your job and don't be a something. We'll say jerk. Don't be a jerk.
Okay.
Don't
be a jerk.
And that's really like,
don't be a jerk.
Yeah. Didn't I just say like 10 minutes ago, I don't have an accent. And then I'm like, hey, don't be a jerk when you're going to the booth, right?
So much for that.
I sound like a Midwesterner. No. Yeah, it really is. It's not so much about, can you do a funny voice in the booth? Can you make people laugh? Great. Are you going to be a jerk while you're in there? Are you going to be an actor? Or are you going to be a guy that's going to work with you for, you know, a series or a game? You're going to have to spend a lot of time with those people. You don't want someone that walks in with their ego first.
Right. Yeah. And there's a few people like that. But I think most people in the voiceover business
definitely
are top notch. Like all of you out there. You're all our friends. So we know you're nice people.
I wasn't talking about anybody
in particular. Right. Well, we don't know that for sure. But we'll find out in an hour or so. But anyway, so what type of jobs have you been doing since, I mean, aside from your regular contract work that you've been doing with your existing clients that you've had for the last few years, what type of work have you been picking up here and how did you find yourself doing that?
I started picking up a bit of commercial work from CESD, which is nice because they're local. You go there and meet them, you shake their hand, they know, and then they call up again. They say, hey, can you bring Joe back in for that other thing? Or I'm looking for Joe. Not like, here's a casting call. Can you send out a bunch of auditions? Right. And I've also had the opportunity to do like some of that. The online sphere opened up because I was in LA. I didn't book Fox McCloud through CESD. I actually booked them some other random way, but because I was in LA, it was something I had a chance to do.
Right. Interesting. So now you enjoying all the animation work and the game work? And
absolutely. It's the most fun work ever. You get to act like an idiot and get paid for it.
Which is easy for most of us.
I know. It's going to my natural state, and sometimes I put on a voice. I got to play a character that the director was like, it's kind of like an evil elephant. And I was like, okay, where do I go with that? And just, you know, being able to personify an evil elephant is probably like number one on my career goal list.
But do it quickly.
But do it quickly.
Right.
Do it quickly. I just did a, it was like a children's audiobook / animation thing at Mark Grau Studio, and I think there was 5-6 actors. Each of us had to pull off 42 voices in this book in like 3 hours, and it was just about being able to call up something, change it, just do something a little bit differently to make them sound just a little bit different. And
right.
Yeah.
What have you gotten from doing some of the workshops?
Mostly perspective. I wouldn't say that the workshops, like, you know, I'm not doing the next DreamWorks movie because I was working with one of the Disney producers or you know what I mean. Mostly perspective. Getting a chance to see what those casting directors are looking for, how they found new talent, because mm-hmm. that's the always question. I was like, okay, how do you find new people? Talent. I know that you, like, I know Dee Bradley Baker is awesome. Okay, I get that. How do you find the next one? Like, because I'm not Dee Bradley Baker. And just hearing some of their perspectives on what good acting is, what mm-hmm. makes it pop. The single most prevalent piece of advice I've heard every casting director say is make strong choices. Everyone has said that.
Right.
And the most inconsistent piece of advice I've gotten from all casting directors is, and I would love to get, if you ever want to see like a casting director brawl, mm-hmm. get a bunch of casting directors in the same room and ask, should you slate in character? And then run out of the room. And everybody just like freaks, because people have really strong opinions on this right. strange, like, do I say, this is Joe Zija? Or do I say, this is Joe Zija reading for this
right.
guy? And
right.
And there's all sorts of weird like tricks people do. Like sometimes people will slide in their slate from their normal voice into their character voice or something like that, back and forth. It's yeah. such a wide range
yeah.
of opinions.
Yeah, Pat Fraley had this great one where he would say, just rattle some paper.
I have heard Pat Fraley's.
You know, it's just, you know, that, you're making it sound like you're really busy.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Or that you were picking up on that. This is Joe Zija reading for Commander Bill, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. this guy's like an improv master. He just came up with that like that.
Yeah. So there's those types of tricks. So you find yourself here in California. I mean, and there's all the stuff that we talk about on the show all the time as far as marketing. And you continue to do your marketing. You're still making cold calls or you're...
I've never been a big proponent of... And I don't say proponent. I never used cold calls. I think in my career, I may have gotten a job from a cold call twice.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what I do is I still use the online casting sites, voices.com, voice123, to some extent, Bidalgo, and I work really hard to keep those clients. So now, years into the business, probably 50% or more of my jobs come from return clients. No longer auditioning. It's just, Joe, got a script. Then you turn it around and
absolutely.
They're still happy. I mean, if you just foster those relationships, just like you would foster a relationship in person in L.A.
Right. And that's the interesting thing about L.A. is, as I've been learning over time, and I've actually asked people, how do you network here? You know, I don't have a roadmap. You know, can you at least give me a map of how you do this? Actually, it's a fair amount of chaos, isn't it? I mean, there's just so much going on out there. How do you find the right way to go? Although it's sort of like being in the booth. What choice do you make? It's like throw it against the wall. If it works, go with
it. Exactly. I kind of recently changed the way I view networking, not so much as there's two ways I think you can look at it. You can look at it as that guy that walks into like a dinner and starts handing out business cards
yeah.
who will never get a call from anybody
right.
ever. Or you look at it as someone that walks into an area and goes, who's interesting? Who do I connect with on a personal level? I'm going to go chat with them and see if we hit it off. Oh, you're also a producer, a casting director? Cool.
Wow.
But that's not why I came over here.
Right.
I came over here because I'm interested in you. I'm interested in what you do. I'm interested in your worldview. You're a unique human being.
Right.
And that's kind of like changed my perspective on networking in general. As far as a game plan, no, it's utter chaos all the time. A phrase I heard recently that I really have kind of latched onto is it's all about engineering serendipity, which sounds oxymoronic, but it's about putting yourself in situations where you may meet somebody interesting or engineering, not engineering your personality, but being aware enough of your personality that you know how not to dominate a conversation or unintentionally insult someone or not read somebody's body language properly. You're engineering the serendipity that later on that person might say, I remember that guy. He was pretty cool. I saw him at the bar. He doesn't know that I work for such and such company, but I think he'd be great for the role of X. I'm going to give him a call.
All right. So it's really about going out there and making friends.
Yeah. Be good at your job. Don't be a jerk.
That's right. Makes total sense to me. If anybody has a question for Joe about making that transition out here to L.A. or just really marketing in general, just write it down in the chat room. I know somebody's in there monitoring it. Get it to us, and we'll talk to him in just a little bit about that. Your observations of living in Southern California. Now, you know, you and I moved out here about the same time mm-hmm. last year, and this place is really different. Definitely different from Virginia and definitely different from Buffalo. What are some of your observations of the culture here that you had were the hardest to adjust to?
Oh, boy. The traffic, for sure. That's not really a cultural thing.
Are you a patient
thing,
person?
But is it? I am not. No, I am not a patient person.
The traffic biggest, is not for you.
My biggest pet peeve is wasted time, because that's the only currency that you can't really get back. So, but finding ways to, like, you know, have audiobooks or whatever, learn different things in your car can help you make better use of that time. So that's one way I found to counter traffic. The other way I found to counter traffic is called adaptive cruise control. My wife's car has this thing where it will, like, see the car in front of you, measure a distance, and keep you at that distance. Ooh. Under a certain speed.
Yeah.
So, like, during traffic, when it's going fast and slow, I could just kind of, like, sit there and
read your copy.
Yeah,
the spot.
I could read the copy, and then I could learn to juggle. I could play video games, whatever.
Okay, but I got a theory about adaptive cruise control.
Oh no!
Isn't the problem with adaptive cruise control is it always you have to allow a certain distance, safety, like a safety margin, right? Doesn't a car fill in that gap? Every
sometimes
time,
the car fills
and then
in that
the
gap.
Car, you keep progressively going slower until you're going actually backwards down the freeway. Isn't that how that thing works?
The way you know, it is in a lot of places. So.
Backwards. Most of the time, no, I haven't had too many people. You can adjust the distance too, so you can like ride somebody's. It's not very safe, but
right.
You can adjust it.
All right, sorry. I just was curious about that technology,
yeah. Mr. Technology.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with anything. But I had to know.
But you asked about the culture, and traffic is certainly part of the culture.
Yeah.
It's very laid back. It's very chill. People smile a lot more.
Because you're not going anywhere.
Because you're not
fast.
Going anywhere. You got That's time. You might as well, you know, you can break out a picnic basket, have lunch with the car next to you.
You just succumb.
What?
You succumb.
You just, you yeah. give in. Yeah. Everyone's pretty relaxed. I mean, I've lived in a lot of different places. My Jersey time was, gosh, almost 15 years ago now. So there's a different difference between the East Coast and the West Coast as far as, like, everyone's really tense on the East Coast. People aren't quite as tense here. And I don't know if that's because they hide it better or because they all have therapists or what. But people are a lot more lax with things like deadlines and times and places, whereas, you know,
crossing the street.
Although I have noticed that people tend to not cross when the hand is red here. Where in New York, people are doing friggin' cartwheels across the street when the hand is red. Right. So,
it's an interesting culture. I mean, it's a mix of so many different cultures here too. I mean, but the food here is fabulous.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if you're from the East Coast or the Midwest, everybody has their great food. We have a lot of viewers in Chicago. Food's great everywhere, but every type of food is here, usually within a block.
I would contest that I have not found a good bagel yet here.
Really? Mm.
And if you could recommend such a place.
No, the one bagel shop we found really wasn't that good. See, that's interesting.
I found good pizza. I found New York style pizza. I have good Neapolitan. I like pizza.
Who? Where? What? What?
So actually, the place that I like for straight up, like, New Jersey boardwalk style pizza is
Floppy.
Actually called Joe's Pizza.
Nice.
It's in Santa Monica.
What a concept, huh?
I know.
It's on Colorado, right near the beach.
Yep, right near the beach. It's awesome, and it's like $2 a slice.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Neapolitan pizza. Pasadena has like four great places that just has excellent pizza.
Nice.
My wife took me to this place called, I think it was Sottobello's or Sottobella's something, some Italian word. And they actually have, like, there's this seal that the Neapolitan Pizza Commission can give foreign pizzerias, and it's out there. And it's, you know, it's like the dude with the clown hat with the pizza paddle. Oh, okay. So when you see that, you know, it's pretty good, and I can attest to that.
Yeah, we found Pinocchio's in the Monte Carlo Deli on Magnolia. Now, there's a great place, great gelato. But yeah. The thing is there's food here. If you could not there go hungry that, yeah. here, you know, it's in trying so many different things, Thai food or Thai food, as my son once said. and it's because there are so many different cultures here and, you know, great Mexican food. I mean, you can Mexican food everywhere else is Italian food on a taco,
yep.
You know, but this is like really real Mexican food. But we're not here to talk about food. We want to talk about people. What it's like to actually come out here. Is it worth it to come out here? If you really want to be a serious voice actor or actor, this is the place you got to be. Have you done any on-screen stuff? Or
I haven't, and I've actually had a couple directors talk to me and be like, Joe, you need to get into commercials. You need to get into on-screen acting. You need to talk to CESD, get involved with the commercial department. I'm like, I have no desire at all to get involved in on-camera stuff because I work mostly from home, even though, you know, now I'm here in L.A., many of the auditions I do for CESD, I still do from home.
Mm-hmm.
All the jobs I do for my online clients, I still do at home. I don't have the time to do a four-hour cattle call in Manhattan Beach and worry about my hair and worry about, like, other actors, you know, giving you, like, the psyching you out.
Yeah, the casting lounge is an interesting place.
I have no desire for that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
You know, it's like you're going to go and spend all that time and theoretically lose money for the opportunity to not get hired. Now, like, if somebody were like, hey, I got a commercial for you, come out to such and such, I'd be like, okay, who wouldn't?
Right.
But I just don't see it as a valuable use of what otherwise would be very productive studio time or writing time or whatever.
Right. And we can talk about your writing, too. You have a home studio?
I do.
What do you use?
I use a awesome for everything I need. I play instruments in there sometimes too. It's big enough to fit a guitar or a Barry Saxon, so that's big enough for me. I have a 416 running to an Avalon 737, running to a Focusrite Forte, running to a computer that I actually had a geek friend of mine build. It is water cooled.
Wow.
Whoa,
which
dude.
I love.
Water
that's
cooled. Some geek cred right there.
PC.
Geek cred, man.
Yeah.
Is that a gamer PC? Is it both?
I think it's a gamer PC that he kind of repurposed because I told him exactly what I needed it for. And he's like, okay, well, I'm not going to give you the big, hefty graphics cards. I'll just give you lots of RAM and CPU power so you can process sound. Because I compose too, so using like VSTs and.
You need lots of RAM.
Yeah.
Sweet. How much are you composing? Are you doing it commercially?
You know what? Every now and then, it's kind of the same thing with commercial work, is that it's hard to find if I'm not dedicating a lot of time to pitching people. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll convert voiceover clients.
Uh-huh.
So a voiceover client will be like, you know, I need this thing. And I'll say, well, do you have music to it yet? If not, I will custom compose for you.
I think we found our composer.
We need a new theme song for you to show up here.
Yes, we need a new theme song. Let's talk.
Okay.
Absolutely.
About time. All righty.
Again, networking. That was networking. That happened right there.
Don't be a jerk.
Right, engineering
serendipity. It's as simple as that.
Done.
All righty. All right. Our guest, Joe Zija. We're talking about being here in Hollywood and doing voice acting. And you also, we'll talk about your book.
Cool.
And stuff like that. If you got a question, throw it in the chat room so we can ask him of that question. And we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back after this on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on VOBS.us.
Well, this is something new. Okay, they lost my spot, so I'm going to do it myself. All right. Look, if you've got a home studio, you know where to go to make sure that it's running right. Just give me a call. Go to homevoiceoverstudio.com and see how I teach you how to make it really, really simple. You hear us talk in the show all the time about keeping it simple. It's amazing what people will ask, you know, well, do I need one of these? Do I need one of those? Do I have to have this? Do I have to have this? And like, no, it's very, very simple stuff that I will show you. If you happen to be living here in Los Angeles, I can actually make a house call, which is really a lot of fun. But I can talk to you on Zoom or Skype, and I can teach you how to use software, how to record properly, all the things that you're like, I know I got to do this stuff, but I don't know how. How can I learn it? Well, you can go, you know, into the forums and stuff like that and ask the question and then be totally lost by all the misinformation. Or talk to me, because I've been doing this for a long time. I know what I'm talking about. I know how it's done. I actually have a degree on the wall over there in broadcasting that proves that I know what I'm talking about. So go over to homevoiceoverstudio.com. And make an appointment, and we'll talk about your home voiceover studio and how to make it the best it can possibly be. We'll be right back with Joe Zija in just a minute.
You're listening to VOBS. You're listening to VOBS.
VoiceOver Body Shop, where you can learn everything from mic technique to acting your way out of a wet paper sack, which is my favorite, by the way.
All right, we're back with Joe Zija here on VoiceOver Body Shop, talking about being in L.A. Now, you're also an author, which I'm assuming has a whole lot to do with why you're good at voiceover. What kind of stuff you're writing?
I mean,
because you like talking about telling stories, because that's what voiceover really is.
I see where you made that connection now.
Thank you.
I am a geek author. I write science fiction and fantasy. I sold a trilogy of science fiction books to Simon & Schuster last year, and the first one came out in June of this year. So it's been out for just over 2 months.
And how long did it take you to write a book like that?
So Mechanical Failure, which is book one, probably took me 3 months to write the first draft. Once I have everything kind of set up, I write really quickly, and then I'll go back and revise. But, I would say about 3 months maybe it took me to write Mechanical Failure.
Wow, well, that's not too bad, actually.
No, it's not too bad.
You know, some people take a year to write a book, you know, but you had a publisher for it, and so that's kind of nice.
Actually, I didn't have the publisher. Well, that's not true. I had I sold the book on a proposal and a couple of sample chapters, so I did have a publisher before I wrote the complete manuscript. Yeah.
Well, that helps a whole lot. Mm-hmm. You try and do audiobook. Have you done any audiobooks?
I've done my own, and I've done.
You did.
You did your own book. Nice.
Yeah. I think I've done maybe 6 or 7 audiobooks prior to that.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, just because you wrote a book doesn't mean you're going to be a great narrator.
Definitely
of said
not.
Book.
Yeah. No.
But if you happen to be a good narrator,
yes,
might as well do your
I
own
actually,
book.
I had my literary agent kind of write it in the contract. When we sold the audio rights to Tantor Book, it was like, you must hire Joe Zija as the narrator through CESD in Los Angeles. So,
well, and who else would know the book better?
Yeah.
No question about it. All right, well, we've got a couple of questions from our audience.
Shoot.
Who are blasted across the fruited plain and even across the oceans and all sorts of places.
All right, let's start with the first one, right?
Devox, you go for it.
Devox, did anything you learn as an intelligence officer,
intelligence,
I'm sure, intelligence officer, did any of it carry over to help you as a voiceover artist that an ordinary mortal might not experience? Say this, we had Chris Fries on, and he was a corrections officer. Not that they're really related, but it was interesting.
Sometimes they are.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're right. You'd know more than I would. But it was interesting to hear how there were some things that he carried over from that, you know, being in command and, you know, feeling confident, you know.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if, like, the actual discipline of intelligence had too much of an impact on the career, but certainly the military experience. I actually had Charlie Adler. It was the first workshop I did in LA was with Charlie Adler, and I got out of the booth and he asked me how long I was doing this, and I answered, and he was like, how do you get that level of confidence having only done this for a short amount of time? And I said, I love you, Charlie, but no matter what I do in the booth back there, no one's going to die. So, like, I'm your, you know, like, this animation show is very important, but if I go in there and I poop the bed, no one's going to die. Right. So there's a level of pressure that's just comparably negligible compared to, you know, talking in front of four-star generals or you know, doing contingency planning for war.
Right, right. Okay, well, that makes sense. Yeah, the pressure's definitely got to be a little bit lower.
The organizational skills, for sure, the you know, meeting deadlines and
discipline.
The discipline, having one of the strongest parts of my career is my workflow about how quickly I can get through things. And that all kind of came from the military discipline, for sure.
Excellent.
And yelling at people.
Well, yeah, right. Have you done any military games?
I have done military games, but I don't think I've ever yelled at anybody in them. The last couple military games I did, I think I was yelling in Russian. So, yeah, that works.
Well, if you can speak Russian and yell in Russian, you know. Of course, most yelling sounds like Russian anyway.
True.
Tremaine Kendrick mostly asks, have you used any of your old Air Force contacts to get government voiceover work?
You know what? It was kind of interesting. Back when I was doing the dual career thing, well, the short answer is no. So, sorry, I'm not going to build this up. And then
all right, that's all for tonight,
goodbye,
folks.
See you next time. The short answer is no. But when I was in still in Virginia doing both careers at the same time, I actually almost had a contract because I had a security clearance. I could walk into any vault in the country and do whatever. And they had a training program that they didn't need a narrator for. But I think I ended up, the clearance ended up expiring. Like, I had left my government job prior to ever being able to work that out. So almost, but no.
Ah, well, you could probably go back and maybe ask. You're probably some of the same people still there.
Maybe, yeah. I'd have to get all the paperwork to reactivate the clearance and all that other stuff. Yeah. But for the most part, no. I don't think I've ever used an Air Force or military contact to get voiceover work. Sorry.
Interesting concept. But, you know, military work is fascinating, though, because it's all acronyms.
There are a lot of acronyms, and it's a lot of being well-versed, especially as I was an officer. I enlisted or are specialists, so they know a small grouping of things extremely well. Officers need to manage a bunch of different disciplines, so we tend to have, you know, puddle-deep knowledge of an ocean's worth of material. And that actually has helped a lot in subject matters, because I know a little about a lot of stuff. When I was at the Air Force Academy, they make you do, like, astrophysics and chemistry and electricity and magnetism, all that stuff.
Yeah. And you don't just get into the Air Force Academy. Yeah, you've got to have some brains to get in there.
That's what they say. I don't know if that really holds up.
Yeah, okay.
I've met some people. I may be one of them. So, you know, when I get a new I get subject matter that a lot of people may not be familiar with. I think I did something that was like a lesson in electricity and magnetism. I knew the material, which is, I think, probably unique.
Yeah. You know, cultural literacy really is a skill that is vital in this business, especially when you get a script and you're like, oh, I know what they're talking about. And it's easier for you to relate to. You know, because we have our thumb on everything that's going on in the world, technology and medicine.
Absolutely.
So be culturally literate. Devox asks a great question here. Talk more about examples of fostering those relationships that you had. Now, you said, don't be a jerk. Well, I mean, that goes without saying. But you create relationships with people that you like to hang out with and people you like being with, I take it.
Absolutely. And being... So for me, I came from when I was doing both jobs, right? I was working a stupid amount every day, and whenever I had free time, I clutched it like it was the only thing left valuable in my life. So after I transitioned out of the government work and started doing VO work full time, it took me a really long time to think, no, you can pick up the phone and call someone and go have a beer, and it's not going to be like, you know, the end of the world. You can go spend time with other people. So being proactive and catching up with people, I'll go back to the Air Force question, right?
And okay.
About how I've not necessarily used it to get specific work, but an intelligence officer there are some very communication-centered skills you might learn and employ in certain situations that, in a non-offensive way, can be used in lots of social situations about how to keep somebody talking. When you have a conversation with somebody, if I'm sitting here rattling my mouth off, you're going to remember, wow, Joe talks a lot about himself. If I'm sitting here and trying to find the right questions, finding the things that make people light up, because everybody has their passions.
Right.
And it's not a manipulative way. It's I'm genuinely interested in what lights you up. And it's probably not the weather. It may be sports teams. It's probably not like, oh, where are you from? How did you get into VO? Blah, blah, blah. It's really like, hey, I saw that you were carrying a wallet from Cowboy Bebop. That's a super cool anime. Let's talk about anime for a while or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, being cognizant of what people are passionate about and then finding out more about it.
Oh, it's important to... People don't want to necessarily listen to you talk.
Right.
I mean, you want them to listen to you talk because that's what we do professionally, but...
I want them to hire me to talk. But right. In a conversation, I really kind of want to just hear what they have to say.
Absolutely.
This one comes from Anonymous.
I've met him.
Anonymous says...
Many times, as a matter
of fact. How does your agency feel about Joe still using the P2Ps? Do they know and do they care?
Well, first of all, way to ask me in a public forum, do they know? well, now they do. Thanks, Anonymous. No, I'm extremely open with CESD about my whole career. I mean, it would be silly of me to come here and like put up smoke and mirrors and be like, no, the only thing I do is the work you book me.
You've got to make a living.
It's a career, you know, right. And they understand that. What they appreciate is what they've told me they appreciate. Maybe they're getting ready to fire me right now. They appreciate that I'm open and honest about it. And we strategize what jobs I'm willing to take, what jobs I shouldn't take, because I don't want to create union conflicts. All of a sudden, they have a job for me, and I'm like, oh, I did this, you know, broadcast thing, and now I can't do that anymore. So it really was all about being open with them and letting them know where I'm getting my work. And to be completely honest, most of the pay-to-play work doesn't conflict with what high-powered agents are doing, because they wouldn't want that work.
Right.
It's not really in their purview.
Right. It's a totally different world. And I think a lot of people confuse that, you know, there are pay to plays and membership sites where you're going to get work. It doesn't pay the same as some of the major stuff that's done in Hollywood. And it's on a totally different level. You're not going to get called into a studio from that type of work. They're going to
exactly
say, can you record this? Get it to us. Boom. Because I think that's the majority of the work that most of you out there do. As much as we would all love to be able to
absolutely
go to a studio, have somebody else set up the mic, just read it, and they send you a check.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't work that
way.
It's
just like any other art. Really, you're going to spend, like a drawing artist is going to spend a lot of time designing like buttons and labels and stuff like that, and hope one day some connoisseur is going to come buy his portrait for $50,000. I mean, it's the same thing in all artistic endeavors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a great question, because this is one you and I can talk about, probably for hours on end.
Let's do it.
Okay. From D-Vox, he says, can you speak about searching for homes that have spaces that can be used for home studios?
I married the greatest woman alive, and she came out here without me and did all the house hunting, knowing exactly what I needed, and like she just kind of glossed over homes that couldn't be used for a home studio. What I kind of understood is there are certain hard rules about finding a place. Like, you really probably shouldn't be at the end of runway 16 at Burbank Airport. You just shouldn't. You know, like, right. It doesn't matter what your soundproofing is going to be. Your floor
is
going
to be. It's amazing how many voice actors are, though.
It is. I mean, well,
they're all in Burbank there in Valley Village.
Yeah, and I'm in Burbank.
Yeah.
But before I moved there, I looked at the map and I saw this runway goes this way, this runway goes this way. That means the takeoffs and landings are this way. I'm going to sit in the middle of that V, and that's where I am. So I really, like any air traffic I hear, I don't hear a whole lot. You know, make sure your neighborhood is quiet. Make sure things that you couldn't change are acceptable. But I also grabbed a house that didn't really have a space. I'm renting right now, and like an idiot, I renovated somebody else's garage. I got her permission.
Oh, okay.
And then I paid for all the drywall and the insulation and all that, and put an air conditioning unit in there. And now the garage, which is isolated from the house and really can't hear a whole lot from the outside, is my studio. So as much as there are hard lines, you can be adaptable. Now, I would love something like this, which is, you know, like the mother-in-law quarters, where it's like your own little house. And that's what we're going to look for, I think, when we go try to buy a home.
Right. Well, this one's not for sale yet. But now this place, I found this place on Zillow. Our good friend of ours, Mark Cashman, said, find a place that has a garage that you can turn into a studio.
There you go.
So I'm sitting in a hotel, and I go on Zillow, and we were here a couple of years ago for my son, and I started looking at places, and I typed in recording studio and garage. And this Ding. Place appeared. It was the first thing that came up.
Wow.
And, the prior owners had been musicians and booking agents. This had been built as a music recording yep. studio. So this was a nice little bonus. And this place is built like a fortress. I mean, you can't hear anything on the outside. Maybe one of the helicopters going over. Mm-hmm. That's another Southern California thing. Helicopters. Now, I'll bet you can hear helicopters even in your studio bricks.
I can. And the other night, I heard helicopters followed by, get down on the ground, get down on the ground. And I was like, oh, Burbank just got real.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It happens around here.
Yeah. It's fun when you see the searchlights and you go out in your back porch and the searchlight comes on you and you're like,
oh, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go.
Sorry.
Been there, done that.
Man. It happens. It actually happens here. There's 10 million people here, and of course, yep. you know it's going to happen to you. I think that's the other thing is that there's so many people here. You know, we went up to the Griffith Observatory last night, you know, right after sunset. You can't do that. It's like yep. there's no place to park. I mean, who knew? You know, it's like, you know, are there secret places you can go to? No, there's no secret nope. places here.
It's all been discovered. Sorry.
It's all been there, you know.
And I'll tell you about a secret place.
Oh, go for it.
Well, it's not going to be a secret.
Have you been? Well, I'm going to let it out of the bag. Have you ever heard of the Nethercutt Collection?
Do I want to hear of it? That sounds kind of...
Oh, he's told me about it.
Okay, the Nethercutt
really,
Collection.
It's really Nethercutt. Cool. Nethercutt Collection.
What is it?
Look it up, man.
Okay.
Do you like cars?
Is this something I should use like an incognito browser for? Or
no,
is this
no,
like,
okay. No. Do you like cars? Do you find cars
I drive
fascinating?
Them every once in a while?
Yeah, well, they have about 130 cars.
Okay.
And it's up in Sylmar. And it's a foundation, and they don't charge a penny to walk around and look at the place. And wow. every single car in the museum runs. All 130 cars.
So here's a one-for-one.
And oil, gas, battery charge.
Here's a one-for-one for that, then. Yeah. In Chino, California, I fly planes as like a hobby.
Oh.
There is a museum called Planes of Fame, and it's got like 130 static displays of airplanes from, you know, 1920.
Full aircraft?
Full aircraft. They're wow. all over the place, and they're all leaking oil because they fly, most of them. So, like, you can go out there and you'll see, like, you know, 1945 Fokker Wolfs flying around with, you know, Messerschmitts and the P-51s.
Oh,
and,
man.
Like, they're trying to restore, like, a B-15 right now. That's a cool place. Oh, if man. You ever want to...
Yeah.
If
you're, that's the airplane equivalent.
Yep, airplane equivalent.
Yeah. There's also the museum up in in Palmdale. Beautiful. I mean, they got... Blackbirds there.
Sweet.
They've got the 747 that used to carry the space shuttle is
nice.
There. A B-52, mm-hmm. which is kind of really cool to walk underneath.
So much cool stuff here.
There's a lot of cool stuff. And people have, there aren't a tons of people out there.
Yeah.
You know, the observatory, don't go there on a Sunday night.
No.
Or any night at sunset.
Just don't go there.
Yeah. Afternoon is fine.
You can observe things anywhere. Okay?
That's right. But you can see the stars here. Not only the stars that are in Hollywood, but you can see the stars in the
Absolutely.
Sky here. It's the light isn't as blinding as you think. But anyway, so has it been worth it for you coming out here? And are you ever going to leave?
First of all, I have moved 8 times in the last 10 years. I don't want to move anymore. So even if this was an awful place, I think I would probably want to stay.
Nope.
I don't want to pack up this crap anymore. We really like it here. You really, I mean, you can't complain too much about the weather or the food. My wife and I are big foodies, so having good places to eat is fantastic. You know, we're close to some of our family. I really miss my family on the East Coast, but, like, this is where it is for my career, and I don't see us leaving anytime soon.
No, good.
It's definitely been worth it.
Yeah.
And it's a heck of a lot better than Missouri, which is, I mean, we lived in some crappy places in the military, so.
Yeah. Those of you in Missouri, he didn't mean it.
Oh, I did. Sorry. And if you're in Warrensburg, Missouri, I really mean it.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. And middle of February, being able to wear a pair of shorts and your sandals
yeah.
in your backyard doesn't suck.
Does not suck.
It's a major improvement. Well, now, one other thing. We wanted to show your book so people can buy
yeah.
that. You actually have a copy of your book here. It's Mechanical Fairy. What's it about?
It is a military science fiction humor novel that is akin to like a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or Catch-22 is a big inspiration.
Oh, cool.
I used to pitch it as Catch-22 in space with robots. It's basically this guy about this guy who leaves the military. Back up. It's a allusion to what the Air Force was like pre-9/11 versus post-9/11, except not nearly as serious and way funnier.
Okay.
Before, a lot less, I don't want to say the word professional, but there was a lot of barbecues and there was a lot of goofing around and all that kind of stuff. But as soon as 9/11 happened, it was like a hyper-serious, hyper-professional, don't smile at me, soldier kind of military. And this guy is in the goofing around military. He spent most of his days, you know, like gambling and drinking with the other sergeants. And he finally was like, you know what? I can go gamble and swindle people professionally. So I'm going to go do that. His first attempt, he gets arrested and forced back into the military, which is now getting ready for war. So it's him. It's his epic struggle with the desire not to work.
Very cool. And available?
Available on Amazon. You can walk into any Barnes & Noble in the country and buy it. Sweet. It's Simon & Schuster, so it's... They are everywhere. They're everywhere.
Wow. All right.
Congrats.
Thanks.
If anybody wants a copy of this, the first person to call, the first person in the chat room that says, I want this book, we'll send it to you.
And I'll sign it for you, so let me know who you actually are. Anonymous, not you.
Not anonymous.
I won't sign it for anonymous.
All right. Joe, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having
me. Great advice about reality, which I think a lot of people need. Anyway, we'll be right back to finish things up right after this, so don't go away.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology,
business,
and good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
All righty. One of our favorite people in the entire world is Harlan Hogan. Why? Because he's been doing voiceover since before there was voiceover. And because he knows so much about it, he's going to kill me for that. But because he knows so much about it, he has his own website where you can buy anything you could possibly need for voiceover. It's called voiceoveressentials.com. You've heard us talk about it here before every week because he knows that you guys watch this show and you want the best stuff. So what you do is you go over to voiceoveressentials.com and... The best way to get there is to go to the bottom of our page that you're watching the show on, and it will take you right to this site where you will see great things like the Portabooth Pro and the Portabooth Plus, which are great products, and there's techniques to knowing how to use them, but when you use them, they are fabulous, and they do exactly what he says they do, and he designed them. He invented them, along with a lot of other cool stuff about being in a hotel and being a voice actor, which we have to have him on the show and talk about that a little bit more. But he also has some other great products. The VO1A voice-over-tuned microphone, part of his signature series, and his signature series Harlan Hogan headphones, which are very flat response, give you back what you actually sound like, not like you're listening to Pink Floyd or something along those lines. So go over there, buy his stuff. He guarantees it. He ships it right to you. You don't like it, which is impossible, you can send it back. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com like a lot of big companies do who need voiceover stuff, and you'll get the best stuff that's out there. Voiceoveressentials.com. He's been our sponsor for 5.5 years because he knows something. We have a great show, and he's a great sponsor, has great stuff. So go over there and buy his stuff.
Thanks for joining us once again for another episode of VoiceOver Body Shop.
All righty. Well, we're back here. We're going to close things out tonight. And great guest.
I know. It was really great having him. He's a great guy. I was lucky enough to work with Joe a little bit, actually. He's a musician and a pianist.
Oh, yeah.
And he has a beautiful home with a vaulted ceiling. And it was a little bit too lively, and it was ringing. His certain notes were pinging and hitting him in the ear pretty hard. It was hurting his ear. So We dampened it down. How's that working out, Joe?
It's working great drapes. Now. The big, thick curtains on both make it a lot easier on my ears.
And just some curtains. We didn't do
just
much
some curtains.
More than
no,
that.
We could probably go further with paneling, but
for now,
yeah, for now the curtains are fine.
Awesome, man.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Now, next week, I'm not sure if I'm going to be here or not. It depends.
You mean physically here or
no?
Mentally,
I'm going to be physically in Buffalo.
Yes,
I have to go back to Buffalo for a number of reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
So I won't physically be here next week. But by hook or by crook, even if I have to use Zoom on my iPhone, I will make an attempt to be here because it'll be 9 o'clock back east, like all you guys back east who watch the show at 9 o'clock. So perhaps because we've done it before.
That's right.
I've done it from airports.
I think it'd be awesome if you did.
Okay, maybe
bring
I'll
your Apogee mic,
right?
Your headphones, rock and roll.
I'll probably be out by my cousin's pool.
Bring a little tripod mount thingy majiggy.
Right.
Don't use a selfie stick.
We'll actually have a live. Oh,
an hour and a half
stick.
Of this.
Right. Yeah. But we do have a guest next week.
We do. In fact, we've got a lot of guests lined up. I'm actually very impressed with what our lovely producer Catherine has been doing for us.
We've got Richard Dorton, who is the top mocap man in L.A. Explain mocap.
Sweet, man. Mocap. Motion capture is the way a lot of new video games and even kids' cartoons are done nowadays. If you see something where the action and is so fluid and the body movements are so incredibly realistic that it seems impossible, it's probably done with mocap, where they actually shoot with many cameras, the actors, and the actors are covered with many little markers that are all over their body, and it tracks their motion, and it's encoded into the computer, and then they can use that as a way to then animate characters. It's really cool.
Very good. So whether I'm here or not, he'll be here.
Awesome.
And you'll be here.
I'll be here.
And Andy, our floor producer, will be here.
Yeah.
All right. But I will do whatever I can to make sure I'm there.
But you will be back when we have David H. Lawrence on.
Yes.
August 29th.
Right. And we can talk about all the cool stuff that he's been doing, like Rehearsal Pro and VO to Go-Go. And kind of roles he's doing on TV.
Wasn't he on episode 1?
I believe he was.
Yeah, so it's nice to have him back.
Yeah, he actually was. He was here when we first started off a year ago. I can't believe I've been here a year already. September 5th is Labor Day. We're not going to do show Labor Day.
Okay. I'll look forward to it.
We may have a weenie roast, but we're not going to do the show that night because all of you guys are going to be out there barbecuing anyway.
Yeah.
Then we've got Christy Bowen coming up. She's a voice actor.
Sylvia Villagran? On the 19th?
Sylvia Villagran is going to be here. Big-time commercial voice of the DNC this year.
Yeah, she's amazing. I've worked with her as well. Super talented, amazing
voice actor. We've got lots of great stuff coming up. Yeah, summer will be over and it'll cool off here. It cools off here in the fall, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
October November.
Was pretty hot last year.
November, it starts to cool off.
Okay, thank God. Yeah, it's fun to actually see frost on the roofs here in the valley. For 10 minutes when you get up and sun comes up, frost is gone. But it's nice to go to go to Pasadena for the Tournament of Roses and stuff like that. Cool stuff here in Southern California. Anyway, so lots of other stuff coming up this fall here on VoiceOver Body Shop. If there's somebody you'd like to see on the show, write to theguys@vobs.tv or take the viewer survey, which is on our website.
That's right. We ask questions like that and many more. And we really appreciate if you do fill out the survey. We really love your input. And we do read that like once a week or at least
to see
what's going on.
All right. Donors of the week.
Donors of the week. We got Andrew Kaufman. He's one of our sustaining members.
Thank you, Andy.
We have Eric Aragoni, who just loves paying for our show for some crazy reason.
We owe him dinner one of these
single week. Thank you, man. Antland Productions, who's figured out a way to get another plug-in. Dude, he's amazing. Brian Rush. We got donations to sustaining from Brian, Elizabeth Stewart. Hey, that's Larry Davis. Graham Spicer. Thanks, Graham. We've also got stuff coming in from, I don't want to miss anybody, Joseph Harrison, sustaining member. Thank you very much. Jack DeGolia.
Jack.
Who sends us money even though every single week this man is doing the show notes for us.
Just writing around.
Amazing.
Writing away.
Christy Burns. Holy smokes. They go on and on. Nothing rhymes with Orange Studio. I happen to know that's Bill.
Bill Lord. Yeah.
Bill Lord. And Mike Martin. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, folks. We really appreciate it. It helps, the lighting in here is perfect because you're helping.
It's also very warm in here because of all the lighting in here, but that's a whole nother
LEDs,
story.
Baby, LEDs.
Yeah, it's true. Also, we have VOBS logo wear, logo gear, mugs, t-shirts, anything, shower curtains. Literally, you can get a VOBS.TV shower curtain.
That one needs a little bit of work. But we're getting
you
there.
Can get it.
Though. We got a store open.
Yeah. So there's a big red banner on our mm-hmm. page right above where I'm talking here. Just click on that. Buy everything in the store.
That's right.
That'll be a big help.
If you want to see what's going on at Edge Studio, just head over to Twitter. You can follow Edge Studio at Edge Studio. All the coaching, everything that's going on in our program is happening right there. I'm teaching an Adobe Audition 201 class for people that already know Audition, but I want to learn a few more tricks. There's a 201 class coming up a week from tomorrow, actually. I believe it's Tuesday next week. So you can check that out. If I got that date wrong, well, you'll know because you follow us on Twitter, and you'll get the date right if you watch us there.
Very cool. All righty. Show logs, of course, they're right there.
They're on the website.
Just click on them. Any show that we've done, Jack's done a great job of compiling what was said, when it was said, mm-hmm. so you can find it on YouTube.
Podcast version?
Podcast on Stitcher. On
iTunes. Right on the website.
You know, wherever fine
if
podcasts
are sold. You've got a podcatching app, type it in, VOBS, you'll find
right.
it.
That's right. All righty. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, tonight we had, who was it that did the voiceover for our intro?
Hey, Andrew, do you remember the name of the guy who was on that intro? What's it say? The name's truncated.
Oh.
Double click on it. Maybe you can read it better from there.
Tim Black.
Ding, ding, Tim ding, Black. Ding, 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 ding.
Thanks for submitting that, Tim.
Yeah. You know, we want your interpretation, but it's got to fit the timing of the intro.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest parts.
Yeah, so just, you know, go on YouTube, watch the intro about 20 times, you know, download it, and time it right. And, you know, we've gotten some really good ones.
Yeah, we have. We're going to keep rotating.
And we're going to keep rotating him in here. You know, as much as we love John Taylor, this is about voiceover. We want to see you guys do better at it. And give it a shot. See what... how you would do the intro to our show. Let's see. If you'd like to be in our studio.
You just email the guys at vobs.tv, put subject audience, and we got two of them tonight.
We actually have an audience tonight. Here, go on the audience cam.
Let's go to the booth cam. Dun, 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 dun,
wave, guys.
Hey, guys.
See, you can actually be here in the studio, which would be
thanks
really cool.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Need to thank our sponsors, of course, Harlan Hogan over at voiceoveressentials.com.
That's right. We also have VO Extra, VoiceOver Extra.
Ed Studio, your employer.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo and Rehearsal.pro.
That's right. Antland Productions. And all of them are helping us provide unlimited, uninterrupted and unlimited, practically, bandwidth to stream the show. So thank you, everybody.
It's really different 5 years later. Remember when it was like trying to jam a signal down a wire, and now it's like
we have a fatter pipe now.
That's right.
It helps a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Of course, we want to thank Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage every week. Catherine Curran, our wonderful producer.
Anthony Gettig in the chat room tonight.
Thank you, Anthony. Mm-hmm. Fabulous job as usual. And
poor producer Andrew.
Andrew
Bushwitz.
Oh, and he was switching tonight.
Guys, he literally trialed by fire. We moved all the monitors, the keyboard. We set it all up 10 minutes before the show. He was practicing switching the show. So he did a fantastic job, I think.
Why we hired a professional.
Dude, he's awesome. Thank you, man.
And very important. All righty. And Jack DeGoli for the show notes and Lee Penny for being Lee Penny.
Right.
So anyway, that's going to do it for us. We will be back. Hopefully I'll be back next week. Monday, 6 o'clock here in the east, 9 o'clock
in the west.
No, 6 o'clock in the west, 9 o'clock in the east. If I'm at 6 o'clock in the east, it's going to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon here, so
I'm
that's
confused.
Not going to work.
How am I going?
Back and forth. Crossing the country is no fun.
It's anyway, the same with a fork.
Absolutely. that's going to do it. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Be well, everyone. Thank you.
You're listening to VOBS.